I want to start today's deep dive with a bit of an obituary. It's a bold declaration, honestly. When I first read it in the research you sent over, I actually did a double take. I had to reread it. The sources are basically saying that the monitors we've all been staring at for a decade, the IPS panels, the VAs, the screens on probably 99% of desks right now, are officially dead. They belong in a museum or an office cubicle, but not a gaming desk.
It sounds harsh, doesn't it? It
Yeah,
feels a bit aggressive.
it does.
But looking at where we are today, right here in January 2026, it's a pretty accurate assessment. We're seeing a genuine changing of the guard.
So it's not just hype.
No,
Yeah.
the old tech isn't just older now, it's obsolete in a way that actually impacts your experience. It's like, holding onto a DVD player when 4K streaming is right there.
So RIP to my current setup, I guess. I feel a little attacked, but I'm listening. Today, we're doing a deep dive into the technology that apparently killed it, the arrival of Gen 4 QD OLED
That's
panels.
the one.
And the mission here is to figure out if this is just another spec bump, slightly brighter, faster, the usual yearly refresh, or if this really is that ultimate visual revolution the sources are claiming.
I think revolution is the right word, and I don't use that lightly. It's not about numbers on a spreadsheet. It's a fundamental shift in the physics of how we make an image on a screen.
Physics.
Yeah, we're moving from a technology that filters light to one where every single pixel creates its own light. That just changes all the rules.
Okay, let's unpack that. Because for years, I've been told, and I've told other people, that IPS was the gold standard. Great colors, good viewing angles. So why are we suddenly writing its eulogy? What's the fatal flaw we all just ignored?
It all comes down to one thing, the backlight.
Right.
Think about how a traditional LCD works, IPS or VA. You've got this panel of liquid crystals, and they twist to make the image, but they don't produce any light themselves. They're just shutters.
They need a flashlight behind them.
They need a flashlight shining through them to be
Yeah,
seen.
exactly. And even the fancy new mini LEDs, they still have that. They just have, like you said, more flashlights.
A lot more, but it's the same principle.
Right. Mini LED tries to solve it by breaking that backlight into zones, maybe thousands of them. But even then, you have this massive mismatch. You've got 8 million pixels on a 4K screen.
And only 1,000 dimming zones.
Exactly. You can't control the light precisely enough. That's the problem.
Okay, so help me visualize that. Why does that matter when I'm playing a game?
Okay. Imagine you're playing a space game, a dark scene in a horror movie, whatever. You have a single bright, piercing white star in a pitch black sky. On an IPS monitor, even a good one, to light up that tiny star, it has to turn on a whole zone of the backlight behind it. But that zone is physically bigger than the star itself.
Ah, so you get that halo effect. The light spills
Well,
over.
that's it. It's called blooming. The star is bright, sure, but the black space right around it looks kind of murky, gray, because the light is leaking out. You never get true black. Because the light is always on somewhere.
It's always on. It's like trying to light one candle with a stadium floodlight. You're going to light up the whole wall behind it.
And this is where OLED comes in and just changes the game.
Precisely. In an OLED panel, there is no backlight, no flashlight. Every single one of those 8 million pixels is its own tiny light bulb.
Sort of show black.
The pixel just turns off. It cuts the power, emits zero light.
So the contrast ratio isn't just good, it's, what is it,
It's
Mathematica?
infinite. You're dividing by zero. And that creates an effect that's so hard to describe until you see it. It gives the image this 3D-like depth, this pop.
I saw a quote in the sources I loved.
Which one?
It said, when you're playing something like Alan Wake 2, you aren't looking at a screen anymore. You're looking through a window into the dark.
That's a terrifyingly cool way to put it, and it's true.
I want to get into the alphabet soup a bit, though. We're not just saying OLED, we're talking QD OLED, and we're on Gen 4 now in 2026. What does the QD actually mean?
So QD stands for quantum dot. And to get why that's a big deal, you have to look at the other kind of OLED, the one that's been in TVs for years. That's called WOLED, white OLED.
And that one used a white subpixel to get brighter, right?
Correct. WOLED creates white light, then filters it to get red, green, and blue. But to really blast the brightness, they added a dedicated white subpixel. It worked, but it could, wash out the colors a bit in the highlights.
Like adding water to paint.
That's a great analogy. You get more volume, but the color's less potent. QD OLED flips that whole script. It starts with a pure blue OLED light source,
Okay, so just blue light.
just blue light. And that light passes through a printed layer of these quantum dots. They're microscopic nanocrystals that absorb that blue light's energy and then re-emit it as pure red and pure green.
So there's no white subpixel diluting anything?
None. You get brightness and pure saturated color at the same time. It's cleaner. It's punchier. It allows for a color volume Wold just physically can't hit.
But the notes said the early versions, back in 2022, 2023, had some growing pains. I remember people complaining about text looking weird.
They did. Yeah, early adopters, they dealt with some struggles. Text clarity was the big one. The pixels had this triangular shape, so fonts could look a little fringy.
A green or purple shadow.
Exactly. And they struggled in bright rooms. The blacks could look a bit purple if a lamp was shining on them.
And Gen 4 fixes this. Because I can't have fuzzy text if I'm using this for work, too.
That's the big headline for 2026. Gen 4 has a completely new, tighter pixel structure. So text is crisp. Word docs, spreadsheets, they're perfect. They've also got new anti-reflective coatings to keep the blacks black.
And the brightness.
What about the brightness?
It now hits 1,300 nits.
1,300? That sounds like I need sunglasses. Why do I need it that bright? I'm sitting 2 feet away.
It's not about the whole screen being that bright. It's about specular highlights.
The little things. The little things. A reflection off a car. The glint of a sword. A muzzle flash. When those tiny elements hit 1,300 nits against a perfectly black background, the dynamic range is just startling. It looks real.
Speaking of looking real, there's a certain elephant in the room driving a lot of these upgrades. The sources all keep mentioning Grand Theft Auto VI.
Of course. It's the cultural event of the year. Maybe the decade.
And it's set in Vice City. Neon nights, wet pavement, fast cars. It feels like the game was aesthetically designed to show off this exact technology.
It really is. High contrast, saturated colors, dark nights with bright city lights. That's a QD OLED playground.
Mm.
But this brings us to the second massive advantage of OLED, beyond just color.
And what's that?
Speed. Mm. Motion clarity.
See, this is where I get skeptical. My old monitor box has one MABER's response time. That sounds instant. Are we really going to notice a difference here?
That 1 amps on your LCD box.
Ah.
Well, it's marketing fluff. It's a best case scenario with overdrive settings that usually make the image look terrible. In the real world, an LCD panel usually takes 3 to 5 milliseconds to fully change its pixels.
So LCD is really 3 to 5 meters. What is OLED?
The physical pixel response time on a QD OLED is 0.03 milliseconds.
0.03. Okay, that's not even in the same league.
It's effectively instant. The pixel changes color the moment the signal hits it. And that matters for motion blur. When you whip the camera around in GTA on an IPS screen, the background turns into this blurry mess.
Ghosting.
Ghosting, or sample and hold blur. On a QD OLED, every single frame is crystal clear. The image doesn't break up.
So here's the wild part I read that I want you to confirm. Is it true that 60 frames per second on an OLED can feel smoother than 100 on an LCD?
It is absolutely true. People struggle to believe it until they see it. Because you don't have that blur smearing frames together, your brain perceives the motion as more distinct. It just feels clearer.
And a lot of people are picking up the PS5 Pro for GTA. How does that fit in?
It's the perfect pairing. The PS5 Pro supports 120 hertz output. You combine that with the instant response time of OLED, and the fluidity is it's described as almost liquid. You're robbing yourself of half the experience if you pluck that console into a slow monitor.
Okay, so picture's amazing, speed is instant, but we have to talk about the fear factor, the big one, burn-in.
Mm-hmm. The elephant in the room.
The idea that if I leave a game HUD up too long, it's etched into my screen forever, is that still a thing?
It's a valid fear, historically.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2026, the experts are declaring the case mostly closed.
Mostly closed sounds promising, but not completely. Tell me why I shouldn't worry.
It really comes down to heat management. Heat is the enemy of OLED. Hot pixels degrade faster. So the new Gen 4 monitors from MSI, Asus, they're using something called graphene heat sinks.
Graphene, like the sci-fi super material.
The very same. They put a film of it behind the panel. It's incredible at conducting heat. It just pulls the heat away from the pixels instantly, so the organic material never cooks itself.
So the monitor stays cool even when it's blasting all that neon light.
Exactly. And then there's the software side. These monitors have AI pixel shift. The screen imperceptibly moves the entire image by a few pixels every few minutes.
Wait, the whole image moves? You don't see that.
You literally cannot see it. But it ensures no single pixel is stuck showing the same bright color for hours on end. And they even have logo detection.
For what, like a news channel logo?
For a static health bar in a game, it'll see that static element and just slightly dim that specific area to protect it. It's proactive.
Okay, but let's play devil's advocate. What if all that fails? I play a strategy game for 12 hours straight. What then?
That's the ultimate safety net. In 2026, Dell Alienware, Corsair, MSI, pretty much all the major brands now offer a standard 3-year burn-in warranty.
And that covers burn-ins specifically, not just dead pixels.
Specifically burn-in. If it burns in, they replace the monitor. That signals a mass amount of confidence from them. They wouldn't offer that if they thought they'd be replacing every unit.
Okay, that warranty, that kills the anxiety for me. So if I'm sold, what am I buying? The source has highlighted 3 champions. Let's start with the 4K King.
That would be the Alienware AW32226QF. It's a 32-inch 4K curved QD OLED.
32 inches feels like the perfect size for 4K.
It really is the sweet spot. The pixel density is incredible. And the standout feature here is Dolby Vision support, which is surprisingly rare in monitors.
That's usually a TV thing, right?
Usually, yeah. But for a PS5 Pro user or a high-end PC gamer who wants the absolute sharpest, most dynamic image, this is the one, the fidelity choice.
Okay, so that's for the fidelity obsessives. But what about that one that looked like a cockpit windshield? The immersion beast.
Ah, you're talking about the Samsung Odyssey OLED G9, the G95 ST. It's a 49-inch super ultra-wide. It's basically 2 monitors fused together seamlessly.
And it wraps around your peripheral vision.
That's a whole experience. The 2026 model has a new matte coating to kill glare, which is great. But, and this is a massive, I have to issue a serious warning.
Uh-oh, what's the touch?
This is for PC gamers only.
Why is that?
The PS5 and consoles in general, they do not support that 32.9 aspect ratio. You plug a console in, you're just going to get huge black bars on the sides. You're paying for screen real estate you can't use.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a huge deal breaker for console players.
Massive.
So what about the competitive crowd, the Call of Duty and Valorant players?
For them, the value choice is the MSI MPG271 QRX, 27 inches, 1440p resolution.
The sweet spot for frame rates.
Exactly. 1440p is sharp, but way easier for a graphics card to run. But the kicker is the refresh rate, 360 hertz.
360.
Combined with that 0.03 meters response time, it is just blisteringly fast. And it's the same panel tech as the expensive models, just at a lower resolution. Perfect colors, perfect blacks, but optimized for speed.
I love that there are clear lanes for different users now. But before we wrap, we need a buyer's checklist. If someone goes to the store tomorrow, what are the 3 things they need to look for?
Okay, number 1, critical for console owners.
Yeah.
Check the HDMI 2.1 bandwidth. It must say full 48 GBs.
Why? I thought HDMI 2.1 was just 2.1.
No. You would think so, but no. Some cheaper monitors cap the bandwidth at 24 or 40 GBPs to save money. If that happens, the PS5 has to compress the color signal.
In English, please.
It throws away some color data to fit the image to the cable. Reds look jagged. Text gets fuzzy. You don't want to buy an expensive monitor and then strangle the signal at the last inch.
Got it. Full bandwidth or bust. What's number 2?
The coding debate. Glossy versus matte. A glossy screen, like the Alienware. It's like a mirror, but it makes the colors pop and the blacks look like ink.
But if I have a window behind me?
You're in trouble. You'll see your own reflection. A matte screen, like the Samsung, diffuses reflections. Much better for a bright room. But some people think it can look a tiny bit grainy.
So, match the monitor to your room's lighting.
Exactly. And number 3, firmware update capability. Make sure it has a USB port so you can update the software.
Why does a monitor need a software update?
Because OLED tech moves fast. They'll release an update 3 months later that improves brightness or fixes a color bug. You don't want to be stuck with day one software forever.
That is a great tip. Easy to forget.
It's crucial.
So, bringing it all back home, we started with an obituary for IPS. We've looked at the infinite contrast, the insane speed, the burn-in fixes. The verdict feels pretty clear.
It is. IPS served a purpose. It was a great workhorse.
Yeah.
But its watch has ended. If you're prepping for GTA the Vi, the biggest upgrade you can make isn't a new graphics card. It's a QD OLED monitor.
It's the window you view the world through. If the window's dirty or gray and backlit, you're missing the point.
And that leads to a bit of a provocative thought for anyone listening who's thinking about buying one.
What's that?
Be careful what you wish for. Once you experience true black, when you see a pixel just turn off,
yeah.
Can you ever actually go back? Or have you just ruined every other screen in your life?
That's a real risk.
It is. Because after that, the gray glow on your office monitor, your laptop, even your phone.
Yeah.
It just starts to look really, really wrong. It's a one-way street.
I think I'm ready to take that risk. Thanks for walking us through the revolution. And to everyone listening, thanks for diving deep with us. Enjoy the view.
See you next time.